Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or more importantly, namaste. This is Slogging It. And I've just hiccuped again. This is Jono, that's Eugene, and that's Robbo. And yeah, I'm in India, which is an experience. A wonderful experience, might I add, but no doubt we'll come on to that and why I'm here, etc. But yeah, lots to talk about. Crikey, I really have got the hiccups. We've got Stupid Simon's Stupid Game. We're going to talk about the County Championship, the weather, and no doubt all manner of other things. So while I sip some water, I'm going to pass over to Eugene to set us off.
Let's start with the weather, shall we? It has been raining cats and dogs over here in England. I know you're in India at the moment. So yeah, namaste. It's probably wetter than an otter's pocket, I think, is the expression. I was going to go with something else, but let's go with that one. And I'm interested to know from you lads, have we seen a wetter February and March? Because I've already heard of games being called off that were scheduled to take place on the 13th of April because wickets are not going to be ready. Groundsmen are struggling to get the outfield dry, getting wickets prepared. Have you ever come across a season that's going to be as underprepared as this?
I mean, I can't believe that when I was playing at a fairly reasonable level of cricket, I had my first pre-season game on the 2nd of April 1 year. I know some of the more recently, they've been playing pre-season games earlier than that. It is very wet. I mean, I don't know kind of whether it's going to be a different form of cricket, whether it's going to just kind of play baseball, because if it bounces, it's had it, hasn't it? Really, it's just not making the batter. You're going to have people like Mark Wood is going to run in at 92 miles an hour, hit the pitch, and they're going to need to hope there's a crater in it because that's the only way they're going to get it out. I mean, it's horrific. And I know these grounds have got all the covers and the drying aids and everything else you need, but either or you can get, but it's just not going to happen, is it? Let's face it.
I mean, look, Middlesex, we only start league on the 11th of May, so we've got time. But you guys up in the Midlands and the North, you start like, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, don't you? I mean, you guys play 22 games a season. We play 18, so, yeah.
Hard as nails, huge. That's what we are. It's up north. Hard as nails. Yeah, it's pretty hectic, isn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah, I mean, as Simon alluded to, I remember it might be me 7, 8 years, maybe 10 years ago, some of the County Championship lads were playing cricket in March, which... at the time, seemed bonkers. But at the minute, I mean, we've had a very, very wet winter, haven't we? Which obviously hasn't helped. Still parts of Notts on the way to Newark where we would go and get the train down to London. Like, still, like, fields and fields and fields covered, you know, submerged in water. I think New Road, Worcester's ground, probably barely above water now. I saw photos of it last week where only the square, which is slightly raised, was visible. And look, maybe with global warming, this is something that we're going to have to get used to and we're going to have to face. I mean, I've said a number of times since I started playing, and we're all a similar kind of age. I reckon when I first started playing cricket at 13, so as a senior, I remember it being really, really, really cold and wet at the start of the season. Or just before the start of the season, but April you could kind of get away with it. But I'm convinced the seasons, like the weather seasons, have changed by a month to this point, because now we generally get pretty good Septembers and even reasonable Octobers. And I feel like it's almost shifted by a month or 6 weeks from what it used to be when the three of us would have been growing up kind of, 30-ish years ago? 25, 30 years ago. I really do think the weather's changed by a month to 6 weeks.
You're not wrong there. I suppose the poor guys that are going through preseason at the moment, I don't know if you guys have been following much of it, but you know, I've been following Middlesex's preseason and how they've had to manufacture the two-day warm-up games that they're going in, where previously, it was interesting, I spoke to Richard Johnson, who's the Middlesex coach, on Monday, and he said the preseason used to be one day in the field, which meant you got 6-7 hours on your feet, 20 overs under the belt, just to get that workload up. Because of the weather preparation, they've had to basically go 60-30 and, you know, get the guys off. And it's not as much workload. So the S&C coaches are a little bit worried because they're now thinking, well, hang on, how are we going to make sure that the bowlers are ready? I mean, the batsmen have been nicking off because the ball's been doing all sorts. So they haven't got the best preparation either. But have you guys noticed any standout sort of preseason games, any performances, anybody that's looking good? I know it's really early to even be calling or looking at this, but have you guys got anything as yet?
You've basically asked the two blokes who never pay attention to any county cricket whether they've been paying attention to pre-season county cricket fixtures. So thank you, Eugene. You've done us both up like absolute kippers.
I mean, it's hard to tell, isn't it? Most of the guys that I have seen playing pre-season cricket, like I follow some of the Notts games, and they've been out in Abu Dhabi playing, and the usual suspects have sort of performed well out there. Joe Clark got a few in one game, and then I think it's pretty much standard fare for out there. They were playing a T20 tournament, just what you want before.
Yeah, T20
in a Dust Bowl as preparation for cricket in March. But I mean,
well, talking of T20, it doesn't sound like there's much going on in the county season. There is a small T20 competition going on at the moment, of which
the smallest
Jono is currently out. Are you actually out there for the IPL to do some interviewing on behalf of Slogging It, Jono, or why are you out in India?
It's funny you say that, Eugene. I actually had some time today with Virat, which it was incredibly insightful. And that is an interview that will go out probably just before next week's episode, which we're really excited to announce. Not Kohli. This is Virat Singh, who is one of the security guards at my hotel downstairs. But I did manage to get his views on the IPL. No, in all seriousness, I'm out here seeing Woodstock suppliers. So all of our soft gear and bags suppliers are based out here, as with the entire industry. And what's been really weird is they've been overjoyed to see me, which is, I mean, you two will know, is highly unusual for anybody to kind of have that kind of reaction to me. But they just say no one from England ever travels out here to actually see the factories and stuff. They're kind of always expected to come and see us in the UK, which I think is a very kind of UK stance to take, to be quite honest. But it's literally been amazing. So I flew from Heathrow on Sunday, flew into New Delhi, had a 3 or 4 hour layover, and then flew up further north. So I'm actually in Jalandhar at the minute in the Punjab region. A few things that I've noticed. The roads, fuck getting a courtesy car over here, because like I thought Sri Lanka was bad. It's an absolute fucking shit show, nightmare, clusterfuck, omni-shambles. There are literally people that drive down the wrong side of the road because they just think that's the quickest way to get where they want to go. The horns aren't used in an aggressive way like they are at home in the UK. They use more as a warning of, I'm here, just so you know I'm here, which is weird. They don't drive in lanes. They kind of drive
the kind of straddle lanes, which is interesting. And people just walk across the roads. Dogs walk across the roads. There are cows walking across the roads. But it is the most... I've only been here, 36 hours-ish. I've had two great days of meetings with some suppliers. But it's just the most fascinating, like, wonderful, vibrant place. So I don't know if you guys have, you must have heard of, it's this thing called the Holi Festival, so H-O-L-I, and it's the Festival of Colour.
Yeah.
So where they, you know, they throw the kind of powdered paint at each other. You know, unfortunately, because that's a morning thing, I once I got here, I was still jet-lagged, so I had to grab some sleep, and so missed the main bit of it. But just seeing that, there's loads of people with just all different kind of coloured paint over them, and just people seem to have a great time. But what an amazing experience. You know, the people are wonderful. You know, brilliant, brilliant people, you know, and just learning so much about India and the economy, like the way their economy is tracking, like in 30 years, they could, if they keep tracking on the same trajectory, become the biggest economy in the world. Like, you know, the Indian economy is nuts in terms of growth and, you know, tech and they're into everything, but they're very, 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 very bright people, very humble people. But but on top of that, the food is like I enjoy a curry. Like Simon and I have got a brilliant curry house called the Viraj around the corner from us where we live. But to eat Indian food in India, like I went for dinner with one supplier last night. There was five of us that went out, and he said, "Oh, Jono, the pizza in here is absolutely to die for." I said, "I can have pizza in Blidworth." I said, "I'm not going to come to India and eat pizza." I said, just you guys order what you order, and then just like, you know, I'd appreciate if you maybe toned down the spice levels a little bit, but, you know, compared to what, you know, so I can cope. But it's just, stuff's like spicy, but it's different spice. It's not just hot spice like it is at home where it's just like it kind of just kicks you in the bollocks and then leaves you like clambering for milk for 15 minutes. It's like a depth of flavor. I can't really explain it, but it's been brilliant so far. And I can't believe it's taken me over 41 years to come, you know, considering how much of a cricket badger I am. And now I've owned a cricket company for 14 and a bit years to make it out here. But yeah, certainly I'll be rushing back. It's absolutely brilliant.
I think Robbo and I were very surprised that the border control let you into India after all the comments that you've provided on the podcast. So
yeah, but they let me in. But so another couple of things about India. The first thing that hits you is there's obviously the smog and the kind of is well documented and stuff. But the smog, it's got like a smell of burning tires. Now you quite quickly get used to it, but I still have the smell of burning tires, like whizzing around my head and all my senses and stuff. And I go through security to get my connecting flight. And I put my stuff through the security scanner and all that. And then this really angry-faced customs agent comes over to me and says, "E-cigarettes." I went, "Yeah." He went, "Banned in India." I went, "You what?" Because I just automatically assumed if something's legal in the UK, it's definitely going to be legal in India, which is really, for terrible sake,
it's a good job you're not Dutch.
Looking back on it, oh. Yeah, exactly. What do you mean? Oh, my space cake, my space cake. That's my Dutch accent impression, by the way.
I've gone all the way to Thailand on that there, but, if you're Dutch.
But he said, no, e-cigarettes are illegal. And I was thinking, hold on, you've got like low-lying smog that is definitely bad for people, but I can't walk around smoking my lemon and lime water vapor vape. So yeah, that put me in a bit of a bad mood. But as soon as I've got here and kind of, you know, got myself into the culture and started my meetings and stuff, it's just the most wonderful place. So I would highly recommend it to anybody.
Well, that's Jono's thoughts on the IPL.
Ah, yeah, no, I should talk about the IPL actually, shouldn't I? Because that was what
good. The question good was. There, Robbo. Well done. Woo!
Yeah. There is some cricket going on in India at the moment. Tonight watched, I think, Gujarat Titans against the Chennai Super Kings. Super Kings came out on top. Although, I think Gujarat won the toss and decided to bowl, and people thought that was the right decision, but turns out not. I think CSK are now 2-2. They beat Kings 11 Punjab in their first game. And yeah, I wouldn't say really necessarily any big shocks yet in the tournament, but some good cricket. You know, it's been enjoyable to watch. Where I am is in the Punjab region, so Kings 11 is very much the biggest side where I am. But yeah, people just love it. Like, you know, you can. It's almost a blessing to be a cricket fan and come to India, because you know that you've got something that you can talk to people who are going to be massively engaged and you know, in a conversation with you. And there's a real shared level of love for something, which is fantastic. So, well, yeah, there's been some brilliant cricket players, hasn't there?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it has. It's been interesting because there's been a couple of law changes. Well, this super sub or the you know, they basically drop a bowler and get a bat, and all the other way around. It's done my head in a little bit because I'm not really a big fan of it. You should pick your 11 and that's that. I mean, otherwise, why don't you just field with 12? I'm not a fan of this new policy that they've brought in. But yeah, the cricket's been good. RCB have finally won a game. I was a little bit worried after they lost their first game. I managed to catch them when they played against the Punjab side, and Virat Kohli scored his 77 and an unbelievable finish from DK. He came in. I didn't think they had a hope in hell.
How good is DK? Like, I mean, you know, he's moved seamlessly into broadcasting and obviously comes across and, you know, he's doing brilliantly. He's also always brilliantly dressed, good looking, you know. Probably, you know, up there with Pat Cummins in the good-looking 11, to be quite honest. Impeccably dressed. But what a phenomenal batter as well. Incredible.
Is DK the one that said that on commentary that cricket bats are like your next door neighbor's wife?
Yes, it is.
Always better next door.
Yeah. So he's an absolute comedy genius legend as well. So, yeah, what a guy.
Yeah.
Have you caught it?
I've seen bits of it. I'm quite impressed with it. The bit I saw of the game today, obviously, Chennai Super Kings bat first, 206, and it was like, right, okay. But I only tuned in during the Gujarat when they stopped, but I didn't realise they'd brought it back to two bounces and over, as opposed to none above anything above head height is a wide. Or no ball or whatever. So they bought these two. And today, to be fair, I'm just trying to find who it was.
While you're on that, while you're looking for that, did you know that you can review wides now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
I was like, what the hell is going on?
Which I don't mind that. Like, for me, it's more the ones that, like, when it clips a batter or something, it's not necessarily the wide decision in itself. I think they're going to get most of them right. We've all seen whether it's, I mean, it makes you start, like, if one goes for four off a spinner, slides down the leg side or whatever, or a batter's going to start reviewing it from leg buys to runs and all this kind of thing. And like, but
look, I will say this, they are making the decisions really quickly. So it's not like it's holding the game up. It's quick.
I think it was Deepak Chahar today, and he ran in and he bowled an absolute snorter of a bouncer that filled the bloke in. And then next ball, he's bowled it was old school bowling. It was like what you used to see in test cricket, where the bowler would rough a batter up and then bowl a length ball. And the guy's just nowhere near it. Absolutely hanging on the back dog, nowhere near it. Goes to try and slog it, chips it straight up in the air. And it's okay. So at least they're giving. The thing I do quite like about the IPL is they realize it's a contest. Whereas some of the other leagues, like we've seen what Australia did, when it wouldn't surprise me if they introduced a super over and a bowler's got a ball that underarm or something, just to take it completely away from bowlers. But I like the way that the IPL this year have made it, or introduced certain things that have made it a contest, so that a quick bowler has got a bouncer in his armory, and if he gets it slightly wrong, it's not going to be flat into a no ball or whatever. But yeah, the bits of cricket I've seen has been good cricket. Like, you look at the chase score today, the average score must be, what, 180? Most of it's been around 170. There's been two 200s. Most games have been within three wickets and about 5-6 runs. So other than that one today, when it was 206, played 140, and they just did him in the first 5 overs of the chase with good bowling. But yeah, so yeah. Hopefully, like I say, I'm not sure I like this impact player. I see why they're doing it from an entertainment point of view. It's so you get your best, guys doing what they're best at. But yeah, there's something to me. Part of cricket for me should be balancing your team, and that's part of the ins and outs of it. Whereas with this, they just pick 12 and go, right, okay, we're going to have 8 batters and, seven batters, an all-rounder and 4 bowlers, and then we know it's going to be a piece of piss.
Before we move on to your game, I just want to give a big shout out to the old boy of the IPL in MS Dhoni. The catch he took today was an absolute snorter. At 42 years old, diving to the right, it was an unbelievable grab.
Saying that you couldn't do that, Eugene?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
When people say dive, it was a more of a blew his feet up, didn't they? Like it was as if someone had got a small grenade in the soles of his shoes and waiting for the button, they just went dunk, because his feet seemed to go up. Like his hands went laterally, and he's always seemed to be very good at getting two hands to the ball. That's always been a plus part for me. But it was very much it wasn't an MS Dhoni from 5 or 6 years ago asking first slip to go wider because he's backing himself to shuffle his feet and get across. It was very much a, shit, I've got to go here.
It was good for the camera, I will say that.
Yeah.
It was good for the camera.
Bollywood.
I've always been a big Dhoni fan. But the greatest thing about Dhoni, other than the fact he's still playing, he's given up the captaincy to Gaikwad, hasn't he? But he's obviously still running the show. Like, it's very much just a case of, right, young man, you can go out and toss the coin. I'll still kind of tell you what needs to be done. But the fact that the locks are back, like, he's got his long hair back, which is an iconic Dhoni. Like, everybody was devastated when he cut his hair off. But what he seems to have lost, he's not found another pair of GHD straighteners yet. Because you remember the old kind of really straight long hair that he had? It's a bit wavy now, but that's the only thing that we need for Dhoni before he retires, is to get the old GHDs back on that bad boy and see how far between his shoulder blades he can get it.
Beautiful. Right, Simon, what have you got for us this week in terms of stupid Simon's stupid game?
Well, I was thinking, given it's the IPL, and I'm a bowler.
How are you going to get Gary Kirsten into the IPL? That's my first question.
Who was coached in the IPL? No. that was nearly on there. Don't worry, Eugene and the avid Gary Kirsten fans. He will be back. Woo! I've got a list of various different things that I'm thinking of. But given it's the IPL, given that we've seen some tight games, last over. Opposition need 10.
Yeah.
You've got to start super sub or release Jasprit Bumrah, Lasith Malinga, or Gary Kirsten. No, Mitchell Stark.
Well, first of all, if Gary Kirsten was throwing the ball, then the batters are being complete fucking disarray because they would have no idea what was coming round.
I was also going to say Gary Kirsten is on strike. And they need 10 to win.
It, In which case, any of them. I have any of the bowlers in any order because they're not getting anywhere near. Right. Jude, do you want to go first? Or shall I go first?
Yep.
Right. So I've got what? Bumrah, Malinga and Stark. Stark's nowhere to be seen. I don't think he comes into the picture here. I think you go... Well, okay, so obviously last week when we were talking about batsmen, it was one getting donged on the head. What would the super sort of, if they just did a hammy or something during a walk, yeah. Run up?
None of this. Someone else has bowled four overs already. There's none of that. It's just one super over opposition. You've already got 10. 9, sorry. Pick your ball.
Yeah, okay. And for me, it's Malinga, Bumrah, Stark.
So you're starting Malinga, super subbing Bumrah, releasing Stark. Okay.
Stark's upstairs having the rest of his face put back on.
I am releasing Malinga. So he's in the change room. He's gone. Not interested in Malinga at all. I'm benching Bumrah and I'm going Stark.
Can we fire Eugene from the podcast?
No,
and just employ him to edit it.
I'll be honest. The reason is, and I was going to say this caveat before. There's a couple of options. None of you have asked me if it's a left or right hander on strike, which I'm a little bit surprised by, because that makes a difference for me in this. And also, it depends is it the new two bouncer rule? Because if it is, I'm going with Huge. Because I don't think Malinga's bouncer, Malinga had that as an option. So, but if it's not, and you've got a run in and bowl full, which you used to have to do in the IPL all the time anyway, then Malinga's options are better than Stark's. So, but I'm going modern IPL rules. So I'm starting Bumrah. I'm super subbing Stark. And I'm dropping Malinga.
So very close to what I selected there. Just a small change. I get it.
So my internet basically dropped out for a load of what Simon was saying. But the bit that I got at first was that what he basically explained was he didn't explain the rules to us, and then he came up with the two different bits of rules for himself.
Your captains, your captains, it's your jobs to find out the rules. If you don't know them, that's not my fault.
I was going on today's laws, right? So I went with two bouncers. I knew Malinga doesn't bowl a bouncer. I'm down your train of thought there, Simon. More importantly, what do our listeners think? Mm. Does anybody back Jono? Does anybody back Robbo? Or is everyone still backing me and Gary Kirsten?
I think to be fair, you're not minding whatever order anyone picks, are you? If you're needing 10 off a last over and you've got any one of them through, you go in. Right.
You'd be reasonably happy, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know what? I'd really like to do that question next week on which batsmen are going to do that for you.
Right. But one of us has got to pick the bowler. And that's the thing. Like it's so much a. And this is where I think the IPL is very, very good, because if you've got a left hander, two left handers are in, for example, 10 to win. I personally think you're probably going Stark and Malinga. As your two sort of first choice options, because Stark's going to tail it into the left hander, and Malinga's got so much more variation. Bumrah hasn't really got. Well, he has got variations, but. In terms of at that level we're talking about, it's probably
I've seen Stark clean up David Miller before, though, in the last over of a game.
Yeah, and he's also got the round the wicket option to tail it the other way. Granted, yeah. I'm not saying he's going to struggle, but for me, in that with the new laws that they're playing in the IPL, if I've got a left-hander on and I've got Stark and running and tail it in and also hit you in the head, the only promising thing you might say is Stark's not got the same caliber as slower ball.
Yeah, true.
Bumrah's slower ball earlier this week that he got a wicket with was unbelievable. I mean, that bloke's got skills.
I don't think any of them are crap, are they? Like, we're not talking about picking like who's going to bowl Jasprit Bumrah, Mitchell Starc, and Chris Martin, or like Jasprit Bumrah, Lasith Malinga, and me. Like, it's not.
Yeah. I'm also disappointed, Simon, that you know that it's 1:30 in the morning here, and you've relied on me to actually do thinking, you know, about new rules and old rules and all the other stuff. You've basically bent me over a barrel here and smacked me on the arse with a banjo.
Does that make a difference from every other week?
That's very nice of you, Eugene. Thank you so much for your input.
Yeah. Cool. Right, guys, let's finish it there. Jono, what have you got planned for the next couple of days?
More meetings. When I come back, more Kingfisher, more amazing food. No, I think, look, there's been some really, really, really interesting conversations about the industry globally that have come out of the conversations that I've had already. And when I've had time to digest that, I think it's important that, you know, one of the things that we are trying to do at Woodstock is, you know, look at how we can be thought leaders in the industry, but also kind of re-educate consumers about what the cricket industry looks like. And there's huge amounts of learnings that I've had this week from guys who are big players in the industry globally. And when I've had time to kind of start digesting that information, I think it's only right that we start to, we would be duty bound to kind of try and help those people that listen to the podcast kind of start to understand that and to be the first people to kind of start changing their views. So, but yeah, look, I've had a great couple of days. Looking forward to another great couple of days and back to the cold. And then, yeah, catching up with you two beauts for some golf on the 10th. So very excited Absolutely. About that.
Absolutely. We've got for those listeners that are involved, we've got a small sweepstake going on as to how long it takes Jono to get Deli Billy, make sure that he's pissing out of his asshole. But yeah, I'm sure that won't be very long. Robbo, stay dry and don't drown up in the Midlands. Oh.
What, is he sitting in my toilet bowl? Told him to stay dry. He's got a big umbrella.
And that, we'll finish with that tonight. I'll speak to you later, boys.
Take care.
Love you, bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.